bias in media does exist. And I think one of the main issues in media is oftentimes that people think that the media will, this is what will happen. The media will report on something relevant because it's a hot topic or it's a major issue of concern. And then the media will focus on that hot topic for a while. And then something else will happen that's sparking more attention. So they'll move, they'll transition from issue number one to issue number two. And now because people aren't hearing about the first issue anymore, they think that the problem doesn't exist. And I think that's oftentimes a huge flaw. It's a major error that people make. And you know what? Everyone has made these mistakes at some point. When you do watch reports online on YouTube or you watch television, they're oftentimes the journalists and the reporters are reporting on the topic that they're advised to report on. And now if there is a major issue and then you don't hear anything about it and you're interested in that issue, certainly do remain involved and do, if it's a cause that you're passionate about and you want to help, don't think that just because it's no longer being reported on by the media that it's not relevant and that the problem has been solved. You know, I think that the media is very powerful, very influential, and there can be, and I'm not accusing all of the media of having a bias, but every media source does have an agenda. Just like in project management, every manager will have a plan as to how they're going to execute and manage every project that is assigned to them. So I think that viewers should be aware that oftentimes if you're listening or you're watching something, there needs to be an understanding that what you're listening to might not be 100% of the story. The story is constantly developing. You know, what you see on the TV today might change tomorrow. You know, there might be a bigger crisis or a bigger issue. And I think that with the media, the way that things get prioritized, sometimes it's, well, how can we get the most amount of viewers while also reporting on some of these issues that are a huge concern? I think that's a huge challenge that oftentimes someone who's reporting will face, is that if you are a journalist, you oftentimes don't have that freedom to choose what you report on. It's your job to report on a variety of different issues and concerns. But if there are journalists out there who have one specific area that they want to focus on, let's say ISIS or issues with Ukraine and Russia, then I think that it would be a good idea for those individuals to pursue writing, like you said, writing or blogging or continuing to do what they're passionate about. Moving on, another topic that I wanted to discuss with you is pertaining to some of the risks associated with journalism. Oftentimes, and this is a very difficult topic, because oftentimes journalists, they love what they do, and that's why they decided to pursue the profession. It's a very difficult job, long hours, tight deadlines, and a lot of pressures on you at one time. If you're live, if you're reporting in different countries, what would you say to someone who is a young professional and wants to pursue journalism seriously, but wants to travel, wants to, let's say, report in some of these countries because that's what's of interest to them? And the only way they'll have an opportunity to report on these issues is if they agree to report in countries where their lives might be threatened or their safety might become a problem. What would you say to those individuals who are considering that option but aren't 100% certain if they are willing to risk their lives for journalism?
I would encourage them to do research. There are several organizations that are meant to provide support to journalists who want to go to other parts of the world and report on either conflict zones or issues where security might be a concern. I can't remember the name of the organizations, and it's possible that some have changed or or developed since my time in journalism school, but I know it was something that we were certainly told about. Another option would be to reach out to reporters who have done that before. There are some wonderful examples, especially here in Canada, of amazing journalists who've gone overseas, whether it's in Europe, Africa, Asia, and reported on very serious issues where their personal security may have been put in question. It's hard to say in today's day and age, because again, things have changed since I went to journalism school, but a lot of times there are understandings that journalists are usually in a place to report. And if they remain impartial and objective, they get a lot of access simply because they are seen as a neutral body. I can't say if that's still the case or not, but a lot of times that's why you'll see journalists can go and interview people who belong to different groups, simply because there's that respect for professional journalists that they're helping to bring a story out of a part of the world where it may otherwise not be reported. I can't say if that's still the case, but it's something that I do remember being made aware of. And again, there are organizations and people who are willing to pass on advice and insight into those kinds of things.
I think that's very useful advice, because having someone that you can rely on or talk to obtain advice is crucial. But at the same time, doing research and looking at what people say about their experiences can certainly be helpful, because you'll have an opportunity to see a variety of different responses. Some might be good, some might be bad, some might be in between. And then you have to make the executive decision as to what's best for you after you do that research. You were previously a writer, and you also did editing for The Maple Leaf. This is where you conducted interviews in person and over the phone for stories. You also conducted research, and you presented story ideas for approval. What are some of the most rewarding and challenging experiences that you had as a writer and as a professional who did editing for The Maple Leaf?
Probably the most challenging was coming up with story ideas. It's wonderful when you have events or circumstances that naturally lead into stories, but at any given point, there comes a time when there just isn't that much going on at a given time, and so you have to come up with your own content. And part of that is knowing topics that are of interest, topics that are relevant, topics that are of interest to your readers or your audience. But it was always challenging trying to think, okay, well, you know, we haven't, you know, what's going on? What could we write about? What do people want to hear about? What do they want to know? And so that was always a big challenge. By far the most rewarding experiences were meeting people and interviewing them. I had the extraordinary experience of interviewing the last living survivor, last living Canadian survivor of the nuclear bomb that went off at Nagasaki. And just talking to him and hearing what he had to say, it was incredible, absolutely incredible. And that's something that as a writer, you have the wonderful opportunities to interview, meet extraordinary people with wonderful stories themselves, incredible backgrounds, and it's enriching. Absolutely wonderful.
I think that with your background in interviewing, you are most likely one of the most qualified individuals to talk about your experience with conducting interviews. What would you say to someone who is considering doing interviews? And oftentimes I have friends out there who are interested in establishing or creating their own program, and they want to create their own program on SoundCloud, but they have a difficulty networking or getting people to interview. So I oftentimes advise some of my friends to attend conferences or to attend events. I've invited a few of my friends to attend certain conferences, and they were able to network with a lot of individuals. So I think the best way to approach interviewing is to have an interest in the field or the area. If someone is an expert in, let's say, terrorism or cybersecurity, I think it's very important to do as much research as possible. And then also to make sure that the research is accurate, because what's on the internet about the individual that you're interviewing might have changed as time has progressed. So I always advise my friends to network, go out there, don't be afraid to speak with as many people as possible, but at the same time, have a vision